Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. Plenty of good domestic fights to look forward to this weekend in the company of the big man. Are you right, Buncey?
Never been better, mate. Never been better.
Excellent. Before we get on to the actual fights this weekend, let's have a chat about two fights that are on the horizon. Should we start with the big boys? I mean, this has been around for a couple of weeks. We just haven't talked about it yet. Two of our, I think, mutually favourite fighters on the scene at the minute. Yes. Derek Chisora and Tyson Fury. Chisora, the outsider in this one. Fight fans remember that he lost to Fury. Excuses have been made and probably justified in that he wasn't in the greatest condition. He is in that.
Absolutely.
He's in much better condition now.
He doesn't need an excuse. You just need to look at him.
Yeah, yeah.
To realise he was in dreadful nick.
Could you argue that maybe this might be unfair and you'll put me right, maybe the in terms of the conditioning, things have flipped around a little bit. Fury's got some work to do to get back into the shape that he was a few fights ago.
Yeah, which he's doing, by
yes,
the way. When he fought a few weeks ago at the copper box, he wasn't in great shape. He didn't really need that fight then. I think he went through with it. He had a cut. His wife had been hospitalised that week. His two cars had been torched on his driveway. He went through with it for one simple reason. He wanted to be on the same show and get a bit of exposure. And it worked. He came through, never took a punch, and took the guy out. He was in better nick a week later, and he's even better nick now. He'll be in great shape. He'll be in the best shape of his career. Because this is a... In many ways, it's a stupid fight, and let me tell you why. It's a good fight, it's a terrific fight, it's a great fight. It's going to be the biggest ever British title fight, British heavyweight title fight, to be honest. It's going to generate more money than any previous British heavyweight title fight, and it's going to be watched by more people than any British heavyweight title fight in the last 50 years. So it's a big one. It's no choice about that. But why it's stupid is quite simple. We know that the WBC title is going to be fought for and then contested again and again. There might even be four or three WBC title fights this year. There could be at least three different champions. We know that one of Vladimir's titles, the WBA, the IBF or the WBO, is going to be vacated. We know he's not going to be able to commit to and carry out all of his mandatories. So that means that title will be vacant. Tyson Fury and Derek Del Boy Chisora, they're in that top six or seven heavyweights. All they need to do is sit on their bums, fight guys that aren't that good, and they'll get a title chance. And instead, one of them's going to eliminate the other one from the world championship race.
Yeah.
It's a terrific fight and a stupid fight. And that's what gives it that extra edge. And that's what I think some people have overlooked here, is that neither of them need this fight. And that if you're going to fight where there's so much at stake, forget the British title, no disrespects. Forget the nice few quid they're going to make, career highs. No, forget that. Because what the loser does is he eliminates himself from multi-million pound and dollar fights for the world title. Gives it edge.
Should be a good fight, though, either way.
Oh, listen, I've got to be honest with you. You know, Froch and Groves is terrific, okay?
Yeah.
This one is terrific as well. And if we get something else at the end of the year, whether it's a Martin Murray Macklin or whether it's a Quigg Frampton, which I don't think is going to happen, but if we get, if it's a Bellew Cleverley, imagine if we get three big super... And they're super fights, Lee.
Fights. Really good. Could be.
In 1 year. Yeah. You know, I know a little bit about boxing history. I've lived through the last 30-odd years of it. And that's as good a year as any in British boxing.
Yeah, definitely. A quick word on Khan Kalatso as well. That one's scheduled now for the undercard of the Mayweather fight. Where do you rate that? I mean, the bookies have got Khan as a decent favourite. How easy will Khan find that stepping up in weight?
I can't see how they got him as an easy favourite. I think it's a really hard fight,
yeah.
If you want my honest opinion. I think Kalatso is a really difficult fight for Khan. He's a big, comfortable, tricky, awkward welterweight. Hits hard enough. I think it's a terrific fight, a hard fight. It's also the sort of fight that Khan needs. He hasn't fought since last year when he beat Julio Diaz. By the way, Julio Diaz, who everyone talked about being shot, gone, rubbish, and nothing win. Diaz, after that, pushed Sean Porter, who then went on to win the world title. And lo and behold, in the last 24 hours, Julio Diaz is suddenly fighting for the WBA welterweight title against Keith Thurman, who no one apparently wants to fight. So that's how rubbish Diaz was last year. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. I would rather, if I was Keith Thurman, I'd rather fight Diaz than Kalatso. I think of the two welterweights, Keith Thurman, the WBA champion, and Amir Khan, the new welterweight. I think Amir Khan's got the harder fight. I think it's a hard fight. I think Khan knows he has to win because he moves closer to an even more, quote, single quote, rather, sincere, end single quotes, offer from Floyd Mayweather.
Mm. Yeah.
Hard fight. I'm still not convinced he wins.
No. You never, to be fair with Khan, I mean, entertainment guaranteed, but you're never convinced that he wins these days, are you?
I want him to win, of course I do.
Yeah.
I think it's a really hard fight.
Yeah. Let's have a look at this Box Nation bill this weekend then, Buncey. Up in Newcastle, the Metro Radio Arena. Should we start with the cruiserweights, first of all?
Yeah,
John Lewis Dickinson versus Neil Dawson. Dickinson, 14 wins, 3 by stoppage. He's been stopped twice himself in defeat. Dawson's record, not too dissimilar really, 12 wins, 5 by stoppage. He's been stopped once in his 2 defeats as well. This is for the British cruiserweight title. We've seen quite a lot of the big guys recently, whether it be light heavy or cruisers, on the TV screens. This should be, like you said, this should be a belter, shouldn't it? Who gets the nod? The favourite is John Lewis Dickinson.
Well, I fancy Dickinson slightly, but Dawson can whack. He's deceptive, the amount of stoppages. You know, he's a better banger than his record suggests, Neil Dawson. I just got a feeling that Dickinson's got a bit more grey. You know, he had some fantastic amateur schooling, you know, international level squads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. My gut feeling is that he's got the grade and he knows how to win, and he also knows how to win long. His last 3 British title fights, this will be his 3rd defence going back a year or so, over 14-15 months. They've all been over 12 rounds. I think he goes 12 rounds, unless, of course, Dawson can get to him. Dawson, you need to help Dawson. Okay, you need to fight reckless against Dawson to get done by Dawson. That's how Chris Keane got done, and that's how Tony Conquest got done. They got done because they committed, they played Dawson's game, and he whacked them. If John Lewis Dickinson lets the crowd get to him, he'll end up getting done in 3 rounds. I don't think that happens. I think he quietens the fight down and wins a hard fight. I think he wins a hard fight. He might even win it late, but I think he wins a hard fight. He boxes sensibly. But listen, I've suggested Dawson would lose about 5 fights. He's turned on his head every single time. I just fancy John Lewis Dickinson.
Yeah, he's 100-30 on to win this one. So Neil Dawson, kind of, you know, 7-2, 12-5. You can get to about around a 3-1 mark to win it.
What's Dawson sort of rounds 3, 4, and 5, something like that?
Dawson 3, 4, 5. You're looking at around 33-1 for each of those.
You know what? That's a good bet.
Yeah. To upset the
Those are Dawson's winning rounds. That's a great bet.
Yeah. Interesting one. Yeah.
That's a bet of the weekend, son.
Oh, you're like, already?
Straight in. That's a bet of the weekend.
Straight in. We'll preview those anyway. Frankie Gavin versus, and the commentators will have to be careful of this one, Saki Shikukutu.
Shik, S-H-I-K,
yeah.
Put a hyphen in, Yukutu.
Shik Yukutu. No, that's the way to do it.
Is that a bit better?
I'm whatever you say, Buncey, I'm going with. As long as the commentator keeps the T away from that first K, everyone's going to be happy all night, I believe.
Well, I can assure you, Sir John Rawlin will. But Lord Barry Jones of Cardiff is liable to get a T or two in there. Trust me, he'll have murders with that, Barry. And what I'll do on the day of the fight is I'll keep pronouncing it incorrectly when I'm around him. So when we go on air, the first time he speaks, there'll be no K. I can guarantee you there'll be a T.
Fantastic. beautiful. It'll sound so good if there's a T in front of the K.
Dog, I'm telling you, there's a T all night long.
Frankie Gavin, 118, stopped 12, never lost a fight, of course, in the pro ranks. His opponent is 18 wins, 12 by stoppage, lost twice, been stopped once and drawn once as well. Fights out of Namibia, and his nickname is the Snake, which I like. I like that. Not enough snakes in the boxing business, Buncey. Plenty of snakes in the boxing business, of course.
Yeah,
any problems here for Frankie Gavin? He's an overwhelming favourite here.
No, he's an overwhelming favourite, and so he should be. He's part of an acquis, part of some sort of accumulator. Saki should give him 12 rounds. I think he's tough enough. I think he's tough enough, depending on how they, quote, travelled him out of Africa.
Yeah.
You know, if he's come in yesterday or the day before, and if it's warm enough, so it's not such a major change. I mean, that sounds like casual racism. It's not. If you bring in a fighter from very hot climate, and it's freezing cold, and he hasn't got 15 layers of clothing, he suffers. Mm-hmm. I remember Hastings Razani, when he came in to fight many years ago, he fought for, I forgot his name, a kid called Neil Summer from Coventry, for the Commonwealth Light Heavyweight title in Coventry, in an ice arena in January. In the corner, they put about five blankets over Hastings Razani's shoulders. He was blowing smoke out, frosty into the air. He had Neil Simpson out a couple of times, and in the end Simpson did him, but it was the cold that did him, so it matters. So if this kid has arrived in yesterday and it's freezing cold, that could be another factor, maybe Frank could get to him. But if he comes in, and they'll look, Dennis Hobson's a straight guy, they look after him and he eats well and they keep him nice and warm, then I think he'll give Frankie what we want here, which is a good 10 or 12 rounds.
Yeah. I tell you what, if that's the case, Buncey, then there's some decent prices around for the decision win for Gavin here. You're looking at around, you know, creeping up to the 2-1 mark for him to win by decision. He's a 1-100 shot to win the fight, so you can understand people, the bookies, are thinking that he's going to stop this guy.
Well, listen, Frankie won't try and stop him unless Frankie senses it.
Yeah.
So unless Frankie sees the guy wilting, hears the guy wilting, or feels the guy wilting from his punches, Frankie will just give him a boxing lesson. And why shouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he doesn't need to take, he doesn't need to get any cuts. He doesn't need any knocks on his face. He doesn't need it.
No.
You know, Frankie can box this guy's ears off. He can put a bit of pressure on. And luckily, and hopefully, if the guy's had a bad passage and a bit of travel, it'll break his heart, get to him, and the guy will semi-quit. That's the ideal scenario. But don't expect Frankie to go out over his front foot slinging big hooks. That's not what Frankie does.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the world title fight, shall we, on the bill? The IBF bantamweight title. This is Stuart Hall taking on Martin Ward. Stuart Hall won this against Vusi Malinga.
What a fight.
Yeah, when it was a vacant belt, and won on all three scorecards on after a 12-round fight. Martin Ward, Buncey. I guess that the comment would be that he's not ready for this level. I mean, he's fought some good fighters, though, hasn't he? You know, he fought Jason Booth for the English bantamweight title.
World champion at the moment.
Exactly.
He went 12 rounds.
Yeah. In terms of the odds, Stuart Hall is a 1-3 favourite, 9-4 for Martin Ward. We've got some odds on the method of victory. Is this about being having been in those kind of fights, having been the 12 round distance on a few occasions against better fighters? Martin Ward's only been 12 rounds once, and that was when he won the vacant Commonwealth bantamweight title. Won that with a shutout, basically, didn't he?
Yeah.
Is it a bit too soon for Martin Ward, or can he trouble Stuart Hall here?
No, it's not a case of being a bit too soon, because they both fought Lee Haskins over the last 18 or so months, whatever, for the British title. So let's assume
he lost
Stuart
him,
Hall,
he? Martin Ward.
Let's assume Stuart Hall had beaten Lee Haskins.
Yeah.
And Stuart Hall would have fought Martin Ward last May or whatever for the British title. So there's no problem with this fight. And people tend to forget this. You know, this is what happens in boxing. There are guys defending their titles, world titles, WBA, WBC, IBF, and WBO, all over the world in fights like this all of the time. Okay, this is not Floyd Mayweather against Manny Pacquiao. And no one's claiming it is. Okay, it's a world title defense. I mentioned earlier on Keith Thurman fighting against Julio Diaz. Well, Julio Diaz is fighting two weights above his best weight, and he's coming off the back of two defeats. Okay, one of those defeats against a guy that never fought a welterweight, and yet he gets a world title fight against Keith Thurman. Okay, and there's, by the way, it's not like there's huge demand for those two to fight anywhere in the world. This fight is a by popular demand local derby that just happens to be for the IBF bantamweight title. It's Stuart Hall in Fury's gimme. It's his one gimme fight. It's his homecoming fight. His fans had the trouble to Leeds 48 hours before Christmas or 50 hours before Christmas. This is a local one. It's added spice because it's, you know, they're both local. It's added spice because Ward's a good talker and Ward's got a great story. He wants to become the first ever traveller stroke gypsy boxer to win a world title. Okay, that's going to be, I think, his downfall here. I think he's going to try too hard. I think Hall grew up in that 12 rounds against Vusi Malinga before Christmas. I think he became a different man. He's a lot older. He's a lot more mature. I think he's a lot tougher. And I think it'll be a fantastic scrap for 3 or 4 or 5 rounds. I see Ward being stopped. I see Hall winning in around 6 or 7. But of a perfectly fine world title fight. We can't all be Carl Froch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not every single world title fight is a Karl Frotch fight. And if you look at some of Nathan Cleverley's opponents, and you look at some of Herbie Hyde's opponents in some of his world title fights, you look at some other British guys in their world title fights, trust me, Martin Wall stands up alongside a lot of those challenges as well.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
And it'd be nice if British fans got off the backs of British boxers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about this for 3 or 4 years. In fact, we've been talking about this when we probably previewed Ricky Hatton against Colazzo years ago.
Oh, yeah, and Carr, I mean, we talked about him already. I mean,
what's the benefit? What is the benefit of constantly knocking? It would be in football terms, you know, criticising Jose, criticising Pellegrini. What do we gain from it? What do you possibly gain? If it's so bad, if all the fighters are so bad, if all the fights are so dreadful, if all the fighters are chinny, gutless and heartless, why are you still supporting it? Go and follow something else.
Let's finish off with a quick look forward to next week, Buncey. No odds on this one yet, but it's a fight that I don't really want to miss out. We're not doing a podcast next week. It's Carl Frampton fighting Hugo Fidel Cazares. Fights out of Mexico. 40 wins he's had, 27 by stoppage, 7 defeats, 2 by stoppage, and he's drawn 2. So he's really been round the block, this guy. And he's been fighting these kind of IBF Intercontinental Super Bantamweight titles for a little while now, hasn't he, Carl Frampton, whose record reads 117, stopped 12, never lost. How big a test is this guy? I mean, he's fought in some, you know, he's been fighting the same kind of level of fights over the past 3 or 4, you know, trying to get his title shot, and this is the eliminator, we're told. Frampton, is this Frampton's biggest challenge yet, or has he had bigger challenges? I mean, he's fighting in the Odyssey Arena, which will be electric, won't it?
Yeah, well, one of the challenges is that he has to keep his head. And I was with Carl at his gym in Battersea a couple of days ago, and he's very calm and very, very relaxed. That'll be half a challenge. I think he's conquered that. I think on paper, the Kiko Martinez fight 18 months ago, whenever it was a harder fight. Of course, he stopped Martinez. 6 months later, Martinez became world champion. He's now made 1 defence, and he obviously doesn't want to touch Carl Frotch with a barge pole. Carl Frampton, excuse me, with a barge pole. Carl will win next week. It will be beyond electric. Electric doesn't really cover it. I mean, this is, they're going over the McGuigans and Frampton on Thursday of this week, as in the day we're recording this. They're not going in on the Monday or the Sunday or the Tuesday. They're going over now because they need to do a whole weekend of TV and radio commitment. And then a whole week next week. It's really quite hard for anybody to understand what it's like when people in Northern Ireland and Ireland, especially in Belfast, the Belfast fight community, take a fighter to their heart. It's really hard for people that haven't been there to understand it. The entire city gets behind this. It's not a joke. It's not me hyping. I don't need to hype it. All the tickets are gone. I mean, they're gone. I mean, you cannot buy one from a tout. It's like, it's that kind of gone. You understand me? It is quite amazing. I mean, I'm going over next Thursday. I'm going in a day early. And just to get a flavour, get a bit of a flavour for it. He'll win this, he'll come through this. And then I think there's a problem because Leo Santa Cruz has agreed to fight Carl. But I don't think Santa Cruz wants to fight till late this year. And that means that I know that Carl wants another fight in between. So he might even be back in Belfast. I don't know when, early June. I don't know, something like that. It'd be great. And then the Santa Cruz fight, which could take place in Britain or Ireland. Interesting thing there is, where do you put it? I suppose you could put it at the MEN. You could go bigger. If the weather was good, you could go outdoors somewhere in Ireland. I don't know. But we're on a good ride here with Carl Frampton. A good ride.
Yeah.
Good kid. Decent kid. Great fans. Pleasure to be at.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, and you know, it's almost as good watching Barry Ringside live every punch, almost, isn't it?
Or Bazza, as they call him affectionately in the camp.
I don't think I've quite earned the right yet.
He still hasn't lived down the dance he did last time, and you know what? I can tell you this hand on heart. He got so sucked in, he didn't know he was doing it. Now, if the atmosphere at the last fight, which was a walkover, let's not mince our words, nice kid, but a walkover. If the atmosphere at that fight made Barry McGuigan, an expert of being in big fights and being ringside of big fights, lose his head. Imagine it. And Carl Frampton gets in there, his heartbeat hasn't increased one single beat. Kid's got ice in his veins. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Buncey, thanks for your time today. We'll reconvene ahead of Pacquiao Bradley, probably, which is mid-April.
Absolutely fantastic, Lee. I'll speak to you very soon.
Great. You can see Bunty on Box Nation this weekend for those fights that we previewed up in Newcastle. If you're having a bet on any of the boxing this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.